Amen. You take your Bible, please, this morning. I always like to get into the Bible. That's my favorite part of the service. I said, that's because you do the preaching. Well, amen. Whatever. Praise God. My daughter used to go through the house, she'd get upset, and I'd say something, she'd say, whatever. Amen. So I'll just say that to you. Whatever. Amen. 2 Corinthians. We was in this chapter on Wednesday night. Dealt with something. I'm not going to finish up what I preached on that. We'll come back to that later. But I want to go to the same chapter, chapter 11 of the book of 2 Corinthians. And I want us to look at something here. I pray that you'll be seriously praying while we preach. That God might do what He wants to do in our hearts. I pray God captivates your mind. God captivates your heart. God captivates your soul, and God can captivate your all in all, every bit of you. Because if He don't, the devil will. And I pray this morning that you'll stand where God wants you to stand. And by saying that, stand, please, and let's read together in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, would to God. In other words, he said, I wish you. He said, ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Paul then goes on to say, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. God held these Corinthian believers strong in His heart. He had a strong feeling for these people. He said, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I don't want you to be messed with, he's saying, and I don't want you to be defiled. I want you to be pure. That's what Paul's saying about these believers. Verse 3 said, but I fear lest any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. You can be seated. Father, thank you this morning for the incorruptible Word of God that's so real, so true, so fresh. Lord, we're thanking you this morning. Lord, it's just specially fresh from the throne of God right now. And I pray you might touch our hearts and give us wisdom and understanding to declare it. But most of all, Lord, give us the unction of the Spirit to, Lord, to have the freeness and the liberty. You said, where the Spirit of God is, Lord, we'll know there's some liberty. And I pray, God, this morning that we'll have the freedom and the liberty to preach and declare the whole truth. We'll give you the glory and the praise. If there's one lost, save that soul. Out of the will of God, touch that heart. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On Wednesday night, we preached about three things out of verse number 4. I'm not going to mention that today except for up front. Another Jesus, another Spirit, and another Gospel. And we're living in that day. When people don't want the same Gospel we've been preaching for years, they don't want the same Spirit that we've had for years, and they have gone to their own ways of doing things, and they don't want the same Jesus that we've been preaching, they've designed them a new one. But I'm saying to you this morning, I want to go back to verse number 3. And I want to look at this for just a little bit, and I want to talk about the instigator of another Jesus and another Spirit and another Gospel, and that is Satan himself. We'll title the message something like this morning, The Devil's Design. The devil desires this morning to destroy you. The devil desires to sift you, he told Peter, Jesus did. The devil desires to sift you as wheat. He'll certainly want to do the same thing to you. But going back to verse number 3, I want to point out some things here. He said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety." Notice these next little words, "so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And the devil's telling us what he's going to do. And because God is reminding us through the Apostle Paul here, that's what he's been doing. And that is, he's up to upset and to destroy your mind. Amen. I'm glad this morning I'm saved. I'm glad this morning the blood's been applied. I'm glad this morning that I have been forgiven of my sin. I'm glad this morning heaven's my home. I can say that. But the devil still, he can't get in my heart, amen, without overthrowing Christ. And he can't do that. He's been trying to do it throughout the ages. And the only way that the devil can take up an abode in my heart is to kick the Lord Christ out of my soul. And he can't do that. He would if he could. But he can't. And so the only other thing he can do is the alternative. And that is, he can start placing things in my mind. He can start putting things for me to think on. He can start laying things in front of me and behind me and beside me and get my attention off of the unadulterated Word of God. And therefore, he can begin to sow some seed in my mind. Amen. And he's done that to multitudes. Now let's look at this morning as we study the Word of God. Let's look and see what he does. I say the devil's design, number one, is to be a deceiver. He is a master deceiver. He deceived angels in heaven before he's ever thrown out of heaven, and caused a group of them to rise up, and they got thrown out. Then when he come down to this earth, he deceived Eve in the garden, caused her to eat the fruit that she was commanded not to eat of, and caused man to fall and had to be expelled out of the Garden of Eden. Amen. We know that's happened. We find him in his deception. We find him in his all his different little ways. How that he worked with Moses in his day. He worked in Elijah's day. He worked in David's day. He worked in the apostles' days. He's working in our day. Amen. Today, to try to deceive and to get us away from the beaten path. And get us to thinking on things that we have never thought on before. I thought about this. I was listening, and the news come across, and it talked about Nostradamus. I heard them talking. Nostradamus prophesied this and said this is going to happen. And then people have come up to me from time to time and said, "You know, Nostradamus said that." Amen. They'll take somebody like Nostradamus and believe what he's got to say when God's been speaking the same thing way back yonder before, and we won't take the Word of God in our day. Brother, we ought to get to the place. It's in the Word. We're going to believe the Word and let anybody else, amen, go to the side. Amen. The Bible said, "Let God's Word be true, and every man a what? A liar." Amen. Brother, God's Word is what we need to come to today. So people ignore. They ignore the Word. They ignore what God has to say. The devil's been in the business of deception. He's known man now over 6,000 years. He knows his downsittings. He knows his uprisings. He knows flesh better than you know flesh. He knows what you like better than what you know you like. Amen. This morning, I want you to know the devil watches your moves and your actions. He knows what will make you mad, and he'll get somebody to push the button to do it. Amen. If it's your wife or your husband or your kids or the old car or the cat. Amen. He knows how to push the buttons. He knows how to do it. He can get into your mind and get into your way of thinking and get you off the beaten path. And then he begins to do some destruction. He's a master deceiver. He's deceived people for ages. Multitudes are deceived today, running to and fro up and down this world. They're deceived. They do not know. They do not know that they're headed to hell because the devil has deceived their minds. Amen. That's the truth. Not only is he a master deceiver, but his business is to defile. Look here what it said. If you look at this morning, "But I fear," in verse number 3, "lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve," that's deceiving. That beguile means he deceived her, through His subtlety, amen, by His fancy words, amen. I don't believe the devil jumped out like you see him, like you used to, you know, a little red devil with a forked tail and pitchfork and horns and a red man. I believe he come up to her in the serpent and, amen, I believe he gives some good enticement. I believe he spoke nicely. He didn't frighten Eve. She wouldn't have believed what he had to say. And so he began to tell her some things. He told her some things that God did say. He also added some things that God did not say. And she believed it. So he worked on her mind. That's deceiving her through his subtlety. And then he said, so your mind should be what? Corrupted. Should be what? Corrupted. Amen. When the devil deceives you, he corrupts your mind. Your mind can't think straight. Your mind can't think on the things of God like it ought to think. And so we find in the Word of God here that the devil, he's out to destroy. He's got a design. And his design is, first of all, deceive you. Secondly, to get the place that he can defile you. Get your mind not thinking right. So there's defilement. And then in verse number 4, we find that they went to another Jesus and another Spirit and another Gospel. And so what he done is he began to get them not only to be defiled, but made them depart from the faith. We got multitudes today that's going the other way. I want to talk about some things here I believe will be a help to you in just a minute. But as we look at these things, we find that there's a departure. The devil wants us, first of all, to be deceived. He wants us to be defiled. He wants us to be destroyed. Amen. He wants us to get the place that we cannot even think like we ought to think this morning. You know what deception is? Now, I don't know what Webster says it is, but looking from those scriptures, I'm going to give you a good plain definition of what deception really is. And I'm not talking about you got all kinds of deception. You got it on the job everywhere you're at. You're in the home and everywhere else. But deception, spiritually speaking, this morning, is simply this. It means that there is a misinterpretation of divine truth. Misinterpretation of divine truth. That's deception. I don't care where it's a preacher, where it's a deacon, where it's a church member, where it's a family member, where it's a mother, where there's a daddy, where it's a son or a daughter, or cousins and uncles, if they try to get you off the beaten path and they get you to misinterpret the Scriptures, they have deceived you. Deception comes from the pulpit sometimes. Comes from the Sunday school class sometimes. It can come from the pew sometimes. It can come from people who have the right Bible under their arm. But I want to tell you this morning, brother, deception is getting away from the interpretation of the divine truth of God. And when you begin to believe something besides this book, you have been deceived by somebody who we can make known right now. It's the master deceiver, Satan. And he may use you or me to do that. My desire this morning is to never deceive anybody from the Scriptures and the Word of God. Now, there's no reason for a child of God to ever be deceived. Can I tell you that? There's no reason that you could ever be deceived by the Scriptures. Why? Because we've got a Bible and we've got the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Those two things will keep us from being deceived. We'll stay with both of them. You'll be able to go down through the Word of God. You ever wonder why somebody's got one interpretation of the certain Scripture and somebody else has got a different one? Amen. Somebody said, oh, so-and-so, I went and heard him preach and he preached just like that. I went down to the other place and they preached just like that. You know why they preach the same? Because they're getting it out of the same book and led by the same Spirit. But you go some places today and you'll get someone to interpret the Scriptures this way and somebody else to interpret another way. Brother, you can rest assured it did not come out of the same book. It didn't come from the same God. The devil's the god of this age. And I'll tell you, I'm more concerned now as deception has crept in more than I've ever seen it. There is deception of the lost world. Think about that with me just for a minute. The world knows not the Gospel. I get up and preach and I say, Jesus died, went to the grave, arose, and ascended back up into heaven. And they look at me and say, I don't understand all that. They've been deceived. The world don't understand why you would get up this morning and get ready and come to church. That's right. I saw some yesterday gassing up their boats and pulling them up to the pumps and gassing up their boats. And I told my wife, I said, they're getting ready to go out on the Lord's Day. That was late yesterday afternoon. And they're enjoying today. And if you went down and asked them, they'd say, hey, look, we are having just as much fun down here on the lake. And we are serving God and worshiping God down here just as much as them people at the house of God. There's not but one thing wrong with that. It just ain't so. Amen. A fella told me one time he could fish on the fish bank and he could worship God while he was fishing. Amen. I'd be afraid I'd get a hook in my finger or ear. Amen. Or something. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can't do it. God has designed His house and His place, and that's where we come together to get it done. But the world has a strange idea about the gospel because the world has been deceived. Did you know the gospel's already went around the world? Somebody said, the Lord's not coming. The Lord's not coming till the last one gets in. That's right, and the bride. He's not coming. But they'll say, well, it says that they're going to preach it to all the corners of the earth, and the whole world's got to hear the gospel. They turned the world upside down after the day of Pentecost. They went into all parts of the world and preached. And if you preach today to the whole world, by the time you're done preaching on this side of the globe, on the other side, they've done forgot God. And it's a hopeless case. But you just got to keep working. I don't have to worry about them. We send missionaries to the other side. We got to worry about where we at right now. Somebody said, I wish our missionaries would get more done. Amen. The missionaries on the foreign field said, I wish they'd get more done over there. They come back to America every once in a while. I know what it is. I went to South Carolina, stayed a long time. And when I come back, I wanted to come back where the presence of God was. I said, praise God, I can't hardly wait to get back to Georgia and get some of them old good meetings where we shout and give God the praise. And walked in and it's as dead as they had ever been. And I said, what happened? And I wanted to think it's because I left, but that wasn't it. Amen. Dead and cold. We're getting cold. Some of you hadn't said amen and glory to God and praise God in 20 years. If you did, you grunted it out so low so nobody else could hear it. And maybe you thought it. Amen. You hadn't wrote it down or we'd found your notes. But I'm telling you this morning, listen, we need to be on fire for God. The world does not know God. They have been deceived by the master deceiver. They've had the light of nature. They can look up and see the sun comes up every morning and it goes down every evening. And the moon comes up at night and goes down every morning. They know the seasons are coming and going. They look at everything. Nothing gets out of kilter. Even the universe and nature even is in subject to God more than man is. Amen. God don't have to go out and set the world straight again and put the earth back on its course. It stays on its course. God put it out there on the ends of His fingers. Amen. God said, the sun's going to shine till I say it ain't going to shine no more. And I don't care how many of these tree huggers in this world outfits today say, hey, we're going to run out of all our resources and the sun's going to quit shining. And I'm worried about it and they're worried more about that than they are anything else today in this world. Asked somebody the other day, he said, what do you think the most problem is in the country? And they say, global warming, climate change. Now you've got to be deceived to think that. Amen. God knows how to keep the sun shining as long as it needs to shine. Amen. And when it even gets down, matter of fact, He's done put enough fuel in it to take care of the rest of the journey. It ain't even going to start getting dim till He says, it's time for you to go out. I done read the back of the book. One day God's going to say, son, there's no reason for you to shine anymore. And He looks around and said to His own begotten Son, son, it's your time to shine. And the S-U-N will quit and the S-O-N will take over. You believe that? Yeah, amen. Well, you ain't been deceived yet. Praise God, the master deceiver is out to destroy. He wants us to get away from divine truth. So they've had the light of nature. Secondly, they've had the light of the Scriptures. There's no reason why any of us in this building should be deceived. There's no reason why the world should be deceived. If they just open the Word of God, they can't understand that. I was sitting down the other day, I don't know where it was, drugstore or doctor's office or somewhere, and I looked this old book up and I opened it up and had a flea leaf come out of here. Here's a monkey and a monkey and a monkey and a monkey and a monkey. Look more like man, a monkey look more like man. And after a while, he's a man. And I thought, Lord have mercy. Why would anybody believe that? Amen. We didn't come from monkeys. Some of us are acting like them, but hey, we didn't come from them. You know I'm telling the truth. Anybody take that and teach boys and girls and little old boys and girls, and they look at that and they say, hey, Mama, look, this is what we used to be. This is what we used to be. Mama said, yeah, how about that? The mama don't know any better herself. She'd been deceived. Amen. Are you with me this morning? I'm telling you, we've got the Scriptures. Somebody said, where'd man come from? Look in the Word of God and you'll find out. It's got the answers. Oh. Where'd man come from? Come out of the dust of the ground. God said He's going to go back to the dust of the ground. Amen. That is exactly what God said. Well, what about all the different races? Read the Word of God. You'll find out where they come from in the 10th chapter of Genesis. Somebody said, God made one little crowd over yonder, another crowd over yonder, another crowd over yonder. Hey, get your Bible out. God said that Eve was the mother of all living. Everybody come from Eve. Amen. I got kinfolk in here this morning, but we're all kin. Amen. God made us all. You with me? And I look at this out of it. I look at the Word of God. You ain't got time to get into all that, but they've had the light of the Scriptures. They've had the light of the nature. And then we find today that there's a deception not of the world, that the world's been deceived, but there's a deception we've got today of lost church members. Did you know, and this is strange, and I'm going to make this statement, and you don't, may not like it, that's all right. I've made a lot of statements people didn't like. Amen. I want to tell you this morning that the majority of our churches today are filled with people who have never been to Calvary, have never been saved, have never been born again. They just turned over a new leaf. They changed their habits and their mind about things, and they're lost as they can be and on their way to hell. We're trying to operate our churches on lost church members. You said, preacher, I resent that. Why? Because I called your name? If you're a saved church member, I didn't even touch you. Amen. You said, how do you know? I'll tell you what. You cannot build churches on lost church members. You cannot. God's church is built on God's people. God's church is built on God's principles. God's church is built on His Word. Now, some of you go chew me up at lunch today and say, well, he talked about lost church members and he's thinking I was one. If you feel that way, you ought to get right with God before you leave. I didn't say anybody in this building is lost. But I'm sure I'm preaching to some lost. You said, how do you know? Amen. You just have to stand where I'm standing to figure that out. Amen. Preacher, I wouldn't say that. That's the reason you're not here behind this pulpit. Listen to me. This world today is filled with churches that's got people in it that are lost. They are. Did you know lost church members are vulnerable to cults? I'm going to tell you something. When the cults come to my door, they don't have no headway on me. And I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting. But once you've ever known the truth, you know what the truth is. The truth sets you free. And when you've known the truth and know it with all your heart, you will not receive anything else. You want the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door of Baptists and they'll say, well, come in, let's have a Bible study. Shouldn't do that. Amen. If you're going to have a Bible study, get you somebody who knows the Bible. Teaches it right. But guess what? They'll be put. Next thing you know, you just check them out. Ask some of these cults today, what? Have you always been this? And they'll say, no, I used to go to the Baptist church. A lot of Baptists go to the cults. You know why they go to the cults? Because they haven't been birthed in the family of God and got anchored. Or if they have been saved, they've come to the place, which gives us another subject in just a minute we're going to talk about. They get the place that they have refused to grow in the grace of God. Right? They're vulnerable to cults. I remind you of this parable found in Matthew chapter 12, 13, I guess it is. Maybe 13. Parable of the tares and the wheat. Do you remember the parable? Who is it went forth to sow? He went out to sow. Sower went out to sow and he sowed seed. But here come along somebody else. Satan. And he sowed some tares among the wheat. Bad seed among the good seed. And the wheat came up and the tares came up, which is a type of weeds. Amen. Anybody know what ragweed is? I always think about ragweed. Now, tares is something different than that, but I always like to think about ragweed. We'd have a garden back yonder years ago, and you have to pull them old. Amen. They had ragweeds so bad you couldn't pick them, pull them up. I thought you were going to have a chainsaw cut them down. Ragweed. And that's the time. And they come to him and said, Master, we got tares among the wheat. What are we to do? Go out there and pull the tares up? He said, no. If you go out there and pull the tares up, you're going to pull the wheat up with it. It's going to pull some out. He said, just leave it alone. At the end, when it comes harvest, we'll separate the tares from the wheat. The tares are like the house of God and church members who are lost. The tares are. And they're in among us. Amen. Even the tares sometimes can choke out the good wheat. And the good wheat can't get the sunlight and the nutrients. It's lapping it. Them old tares, old ragweeds will suck up everything in the corn patch and in the bean patch. Brother, you'll find out it'll take away the nutrients. And we find the same thing in the house of God, that lost church members sitting there will soak up and pull up the nutrients and they'll keep the church from going forward. Lost church members. It's been a while since I preached on that. Lost church members. Amen. I've heard so many stories of people. And if I ask questions, there'd be some of you in here that used to be church members lost and got saved. Some of you were members of a church before you ever got birthed in the family of God. I got saved and then joined the church. But if some folks joined the church and then got saved, either way, I'm glad you got in. Amen. But I'm trying to tell you this morning that our churches are filled with people like the tares. And so they're at the place of, they're among the wheat. And they're at the place this morning that they're vulnerable to the cults. And then we've got in our churches not only lost church members, we've got people who are carnal. Carnal church members. What are they? They're those what we call the unteachable brethren. Amen. I can kind of relate that to you this morning. Back 100 years ago when you went to school, they taught you something. Now they still teach, but they don't teach you much. If you don't believe it, go down to McDonald's and let their computer be off. And they can't check it. And you give them $10 and you got some change coming back and they can't figure it out. When we went to school, they taught us how to count change. The item was 52 cents. They went in the register and said 53, 54, 55, 65, 75 and give you a quarter. And they counted it out. Kids can't do that now. They relied on those. And they've gone to school. Some of them are already graduated or fixing to graduate, and they cannot count change back. And if the register don't tell them how much to give you back, they don't know what in the world to do. Hey, amen. I learned that at an early age. I don't know where as good teachers or I was a good student. Hey, amen. Maybe I'm just ahead of my time or something. But I think it's more like they don't teach you those things now. I went to a place the other day and I bought something. It was $14.92. And I looked at that. I said, hey, that was a wonderful day, wasn't it? A year? That girl looked at me and said, I don't know, I wasn't here. I said, I wasn't either. But in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. She said, what? Now, some of y'all didn't know that either. Hey, you with me? And so what's happened in our churches? We've come to that place that we've got some unteachables. Either they're not listening to what the man of God's saying, or the man of God ain't saying it. Or they have stopped their ears and they've just gone through. Hey, if you sit in the preaching and under the Word of God for any length of time, you'll get yourself a pretty good education. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Church will teach you things that they can't teach you down at the schoolhouse anyhow. They tell you, teach you how to get along with people at the church. Well, they're supposed to. Matter of fact, it's sometimes I believe our churches are full of unteachables. Unteachable brethren. You can't teach some. The old fellow said to me, he said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that's right. I can teach you, but you will not automatically learn it if you don't want to. I just tell you, it's strange, isn't it? Unteachable. Not only are they unteachable, but sometimes they're controlled. Carnal Christians are controlled by the flesh. They're not led by the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh. They're controlled by the flesh and not by the Spirit. In other words, the Bible, James says, they're hearers only and not doers of the Word of God. Amen. Now, let me give you something about sin. Jot this down in your notes. If you jotted down anything, put this down. Sin, when it is tolerated, after it's tolerated for some length of time, will become sin accepted. And when sin is accepted, then whatever you do from then on, you begin to promote that sin when you accept it. And after you begin to promote it, the next thing it does is becomes a lifestyle. One of the easiest ways I can tell you about that is this. Take homosexuality, for instance. There used to be a time that it was not tolerated. There used to be a time when it was not accepted. There used to be a time that it was not promoted. And there used to be a time when it was not an alternate lifestyle. And as far as I'm concerned, it's still that way in my life. But now we've accepted it. Take abortion, for instance. There was a time when people did not tolerate it. They were against it. They voiced their opinion against it. They preached against it. They stood against it. And then everybody got doing it. Brought it into the law. And sometimes the families, it even came to their own families. And because of the convenience for it, those families that were once again against it now are for it. They've tolerated it. They have accepted it. And now it's become a lifestyle. Same thing for drugs. Same thing for alcohol. Same thing for divorce and remarriage. Mark it down. Where'd all that come from? God's people allowed that to take place in our country. You said, we had nothing to do with it. We had all to do with it. When the churches backed down and allowed all that stuff to come in. Amen. Amen. Preachers preached against alcohol for ages with 10 or 15 bootleggers in their congregation that didn't change. Haul booze. I've heard so much about back yonder hauling booze. I hear it everywhere I go. I hear it. Get into commercials. And I said, I think that's what I heard this. I think I'm right in telling this. If I'm not, you can straighten me out. But I think that's where NASCAR comes from. Where they're trying to get automobiles and that put them to race. Well, now we've accepted all that stuff. Well, the government said we just want to get the money out of it and then we make it legal. Now it's legal and it's all right. It's not all right. I better get off of that before I get to meddling and you get mad. But I'm telling the truth this morning. Satan's got some counterfeits. He's got some counterfeit churches. He's got some counterfeit saints. He's got some counterfeit preachers. Read over in this chapter and you'll find out that. 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, for such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They even look good. Sound good. Amen. They're accepted. No telling how many hirelings are preaching in the pulpits across America this morning. No telling this morning how many false preachers are behind the sacred desk trying to declare what they call the Word of God. Most of it's been watered down and changed over. And given little portions of this and little portions of that. I was listening to a fellow yesterday. Just so happened, run across the dial and found him. And as I run across the dial, I looked at him and I said, "Whoo! Now that feller's deep." And he wasn't saying nothing, to tell you the truth. And he's dry. And he's dead. And I caught myself trying to crawl up in my radio. Try to help him out a little bit. Hear me. Said, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." The devil's the master deceiver. I hope he's not deceived you. I hope he's not today got your mind warped and got you to thinking lightly on the things of God. If anything this morning, dig in deeper, stand stronger, get firmer, stay there until Jesus comes. Amen. They used to tell me about these old turtles. We'd play the old turtles, you know, and they said, "That turtle, Mama said, that turtle ever get a hold of you, bite down on you, said it won't turn loose." Either, she'd say, sometimes to the thunder or to the sun goes down. And I never did get bit by them because I believed her. Amen. But I believe you saints of God this morning, you need to get a hold of what your doctrines are. Stand with them and get a hold and be like the turtle. Hang on! Stay with it. I have nothing to turn around to this morning. I've got something to look forward to every day of my life. And I want to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I challenge you, saints of God. If there's one in this building not saved, you've let the devil deceive you. You're a member of a church. You carry your Bible. You go through the pretense of studying. Sometimes you can't understand the Word of God because you're lost. And you can't seem to get involved in the preacher's preaching. You can't seem to get involved with what the preacher's saying because you don't understand why in the world he's what he is and how he stands, what he stands for. You don't understand that. If you're lost, this would be a good morning to come to Jesus. If you've got weak and cold, calloused and unconcerned, this would be a good morning to come to the altar. Let's have an invitation. Let's bow our heads, please, as they come to the instruments. Father, touch this congregation. Lord, I don't know the hearts of anybody in this building but mine. Lord, I know what You've done for me. And I know what You could do for them. And Lord, I'm sure You've done it for most of them. But if there's one under the sound of our voice this morning, Lord, this has been under pretense for years. They haven't got birthed into the family of God yet. I pray this morning, Lord, that You'd touch them. They'll come. You do the work in their heart that needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, please. What's your number? 307. 307 in the red book, please.